The Holy Gospel for today, according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. The words of our Lord. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We have some powerful scriptures in our midst this day. Those two readings that Shelley shared with us. The first one from the prophet Isaiah. As we hear those words, it is clear to us what is happening among the people of God in Isaiah's time. And the Apostle Paul, as he is writing to the church in Corinth, as he reminds them that that when he was in their midst, that the central thing that he was concerned about was Jesus Christ and him crucified and what that means. We gather together today as the people of God to hear God's word, to be inspired and challenged by it, and to be strengthened by God's word as he sends us out into his world. Well, most of us are familiar with resumes, whether we complete them to hand them in for jobs we are hoping to get, or whether we are on the other side of things and we sort through resumes and try to make sense of them. But you have to be careful, I think, about resumes. There you find schools that are listed, jobs that are held, and companies that are worked for. Some resumes look impressive, and people will actually pay to have people help them to come up with a good resume, something that presents well. But of course, we all know that what is more important than the presentation is the performance of the person who is giving you that resume. Did he apply himself at Stanford? Was she respected by her colleagues when she served as senior vice president? Were his accomplishments in the company such that even after leaving Apple, years later, his photo is still on the wall? A former mayor here in Saratoga has written these words. As former mayor, I had the opportunity to observe firsthand two types of elected officials. Those who simply occupied a seat with occasional breaks for ribbon cuttings or conventions, and those who actually accomplished something for our quality of life. We know all about this, don't we, in our world? We know about positions that are simply occupied by someone, and we know about people who occupy those positions and really carry out their duties well. Especially in our day, as we hear the politicians make wonderful promises, we hear those promises with a bit of skepticism and wonder, will they actually carry them out? And so it is when it comes to matters of faith and discipleship. So it is when it comes to the claims that we make as Christ followers and the content of our day-to-day speaking and living. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to hear your call again this day and to truly understand and properly evaluate what that call is. We pray, O Lord, that you would open our ears and open our hearts, open our eyes, that we might hear you, perceive you, and see you clearly as you send us out into your world. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you probably know that Jesus was not always warm and fuzzy in his interactions with the people. He was frustrated by the lack of faith in his disciples. "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," he says, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Jesus sometimes became angry and sometimes grew impatient with the religious leaders who occupied respectable positions but did not act responsibly in them. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites!" In speaking this way, Jesus was speaking prophetically. He was speaking truth to power. We heard it from the prophet Isaiah clearly this morning. The people were practiced at going through the motions. They had learned all the religious rites. They looked good on the outside, but on the inside, there was little real content. Like a Hollywood set built to convey and convince viewers that everything is exactly as it appears, but of course, it's only a front. There's nothing real on the inside. Is it any wonder, then, that Jesus did not urge the people to follow prescribed rites in the religion? Instead, he simply said, "Follow me." Jesus walked the talk. What does he tell us this morning? He says, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." Notice that the purpose for each of these is not to draw attention to itself, but to benefit others. You will find few people in our world today that like to eat salt by itself. There could be some, but you would find few, I think. My mother's prescription for me as a boy, and even as I have entered into adulthood, when I go through a cold or have a sickness, I've got a sore throat, she tells me, "Derek, you should gargle with hot salt water, as hot as you can stand it." Well, not super appealing to me. The aftertaste has dissuaded me from carrying out her advice. And growing up in Southern California, going to one of my favorite places on this earth, the beaches, and learning to body surf and just enjoying that, on more than one occasion, I have had a gulp of salt water go down me. Not a pleasant experience. But used as it is meant to be used, salt can bring out the real taste of the food being eaten. Salt brings benefit. It adds to something else. It's not to be enjoyed in and of itself. So too with light. Light can illuminate the path before us. Light can bring light to the situation so that those can see the truth in the midst of the darkness. But no one looks into the light to see the light. That's not how it's meant to be used. Properly used, light brings benefit to the user. In fact, when the electric light was invented, it transformed the way we live our lives today. No longer are we dependent on candlelight or upon the sun to do our works. We can be about our tasks any time of the day or night. Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Our attention then is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to bring benefit to others, to help them see so that they can make their way in the world, to bring the blessing of the spice of life so that others, when they leave your presence, feel better for having had that experience with you. Following Jesus makes a difference in the way we speak. Following Jesus makes a difference in the way we act in this world. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. Think about these statements. Christ followers make the best employees. They have the best attitude. They work the hardest. They're most diligent with their time. They are most productive in the tasks given to them. Are these statements true? If not, there's something wrong, because they should be true. Jesus calls us to full-time work in his kingdom, in whatever calling you have received. Your words and your actions are to be fully under the lordship of Jesus. Jesus and his way should guide you in the words that you speak and in your daily actions. If they do not, something is awry. If they do not, there is sin and brokenness, which is simply a call to repentance and a recommitment to follow him. But you need to know that an encounter with Jesus is a dangerous thing for two reasons. First of all, when you encounter Jesus and hear his call to follow, you need to know that he calls all of you to follow. And by all of you, I don't mean everyone who is hearing my voice today, everyone here in the congregation. By all of you, I mean he calls every part of you, 100% of you, to follow in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions. Danger number one is not taking Jesus seriously enough. Taking his name or his title, Christ, by calling yourself a Christian, but then going your own way, doing your own thing. This is what the Bible calls having the form of religion, but denying its power. But there is a second danger here also of an encounter with Jesus. And that is that you will take Jesus seriously. You will commit your life to him. You will be intent on following his words and his ways, shining his light, being his salt in the world. But the danger comes when you begin to delight in your own saltiness. You begin to wallow in the wonder of your own enlightenment. Along the path of following your Lord, you have taken a side road. You've been diverted, and you think you're doing well, you're on your way to glory, or even that you've already arrived. This road called delusion leaves you no longer following as a disciple of Jesus. You're simply walking alone. You think that your righteousness is indeed exceeding that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and in doing so, you become one of them. In seeking righteousness, the danger is self-righteousness and judgment of others. Judgment of those who do not seem to be taking Jesus as seriously as you do, those who aren't walking and talking as they should as followers of Jesus. But salvation is the work of our Savior alone. We must never forget that. Jesus calls us to do much in this life, but saving ourselves is not one of them. The church is being challenged today. Some say that religion in America is in decline, that faith is fading and will die with our generation. The world is hungry. The world is starving for words, for lives that are nutritious and savory. We come to see Jesus more clearly with 20/20 vision. And as we do, may our words and our ways lead others to him, that they can see for themselves and taste and see that the Lord is good. The world is filled with men and women who are blind, groping about in the darkness, seeking to find their way forward, yet floundering in their attempt. Jesus calls you this day to see Christ, to see him with 20/20 vision, and in your words and in your ways to shine the light of his truth upon the lives of those who surround you, that they might come to know the light of the world so that they can make their way through the darkness of this life and enlighten still others on this earth, following their Savior, finding their way safely to the promised land. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. No one can replace you. So go now, be it, and do it to the honor and glory of God. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we pray that you would draw our attention once more this day onto you who is the light of the world. You tell us to let our light shine that others may see and glorify our Father in heaven. And so we pray that you would help us to be fully devoted to you this day, to follow in your steps, filled with your joy, filled with your love. Perform your work in us and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.